Good evening. It's great to see everyone out again tonight. As Jeff mentioned this morning, tonight is going to be sort of a sermon and song. So all the songs, with the exception of the first, have been selected to go along with the message that Jeff is bringing. So I find myself often thinking about the melody, making sure I'm in tune with those around me. But as we sing these songs tonight, let's focus about the words. Let's focus about the message that those songs are speaking to us and how they'll correlate with what Jeff has to say. So first is number 658. All the way my Savior leads me.
You might be opening your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 we're going to focus in on again this evening. As Brad mentioned, we are going to continue what we talked about this morning, and that is our growth. There may have been some who weren't here this morning that didn't get one of these charts. Are there those here that did not get one of these charts? If you'd raise your hand. Okay, there's a couple here. If you wouldn't mind, let's pass those out. And if you need a pen or a pencil, if you forgot your pen or pencil to fill out the rest, if you'll, these young men here will pass out a pen or a pencil if you raise your hand. Anybody that needs a pen or a pencil? Yeah, it looks like we need some more pen. If you, young men, just scout out who's raising their hand and help them out there. That would be appreciated. Hopefully you were able to think about the chart that you filled out from this morning and did a little evaluation of where you are and perhaps what areas that you might be able to improve in. I would make one clarification, which I didn't make this morning. It was in my head, but I didn't transfer that. What I had in mind was zero was at the inside and 10 was at the outside. So as you grow, you got closer to the outside, which would make a wheel, like your spokes in a wheel and everything. Some people did it the opposite and saw God in the middle as the perfection, and they got closer and closer to God. That's a good idea, but that was not my idea. But the main thing is, if you are consistent either way, it does the same thing, because you're kind of trying to make some evaluation, some objective standard, and therefore see what See what areas you might need to develop more, whether there's balance there, to give some thought to where is the expectation of God because of time? God does not expect us to immediately be 100%. As a matter of fact, God does not expect us to ever be 100% in all of these qualities. Now, not having these qualities can lend themselves to get involved with sin, but that is the breaking of the law of God. But these qualities in and of themselves are not sin if we don't have 100%. What the Lord is looking for is by our talents, by our time, by our opportunity for us to continue to grow, continue the upward spiral of maturity so that we can become more and more like God. And I hope that you have spent some time evaluating that and made some conscious efforts, will make some conscious efforts in the near future to try to improve on that. I know it's sort of like making a New Year's resolution where you say, yes, I'm going to do better at that, and you do better at that for, you know, 1 or 2 days, and then it kind of falls by the wayside. But I hope that we can have a little bit more clarity, a little bit more long-term goal in mind. And the fact is, when we're talking about, for example, if we are a little bit lopsided in our self-control, it's not as if tomorrow I say, okay, I will self-control. What's going to happen is that life is going to come and you're going to have decisions to make about whether you control yourself or whether or not you lack the discipline. When those areas come, it's not as if you have to manufacture them. Life will come and you will either make the right choices and therefore grow, or you won't make the right choices and you will be stagnant or you will go backward. Life has the tendency of forcing us to grow or forcing us backward. So I hope that you'll take advantage of those opportunities. And what we need a lot of times is just some motivation. Why should I do this? Why should I grow? And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, gives us three things that motivate us to become more and more like our Savior, 3 promises that we can embrace. And embracing these promises will give us the energy we need in order to grow. So let's examine the rest of this section here and gain 3 more embracing the promises. And so this will be on the back, so you can kind of take notes on the back of the promises that we can embrace. So the first one, I will, what does he say in chapter 1 and verse 8? He says, for if these things, and it's interesting that phrase, these things, is going to occur over and over again, these things being added to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, self-control, and so forth, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter states it in the negative. You will not be unfruitful or barren. I will state it in the positive. You will bear fruit. There will be fruit in your life. Now, God is looking for fruit. We know, we did not turn back to it, but we mentioned this last week. In the book of Mark, in the 11th chapter, as Jesus is nearing the end of his time before his crucifixion, he goes into Jerusalem and he sees this fig tree. And this fig tree had leaves, so it should have been at least beginning the process of having fruit, but it had no fruit. And so Jesus says, and this is Luke chapter 11 and verse 14, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And then in verse 20 it says, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now I'm sure that part of the reason why this fig tree withered was because Jesus saw the fig tree, he was hungry, and it had no fruit. But what Jesus did usually had a deeper meaning to it than that. And in fact, right in the middle of that, verses 15 through 19, Jesus goes into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple, and he sees people who have missed the point of their Judaism. People who have missed the point of their service to God. They had turned this place of prayer into a den of thieves. And that's what, unfortunately, we do sometimes, man. That is, we look so intently on the things of this life that we miss what life is all about. And we are unfruitful. And because of this, this is probably on Tuesday of the last week, on Thursday of the last week, Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed because they lack fruit. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be unfruitful. How can we be guaranteed that we're going to have fruit? How do we know that we're going to have fruit? Peter tells us right here. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither unfruitful nor barren. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit if you do these. If you do these, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. We have this promise given to us by God. If you would go to the book of John in the 15th chapter, John chapter 15, and I'd like to look at these verses in two ways. These are said around the same time that Jesus cursed that fig tree and Jesus said that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. This is on the night before his death. And he also has this idea of fruit. He wants his disciples to bear fruit. And I'd like to read this two times. The first time I'd like to read it in the negative. What happens if we don't bear fruit? Begin in verse 1. I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes and bears more fruit. You are already clean because the word that I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. I'll stop there because he goes positive again. Did you hear that negative position of Jesus? If you don't bear fruit, you're going to be burned. None of us want to be burned. We want to bear fruit. We want to grow unto the Lord. So let's read these verses again in the positive. How can we bear fruit? Chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them and put them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. A passage filled with great promises. We are going to bear fruit. We can bear much fruit. We can, keeping the commandments of God, be full of joy. How can we do that? How can we embrace that? How can we make sure that we are going to bear fruit? Peter says right here, this is how you do it. These eight things, starting with faith, these seven things, you add, you add, you add, you add, you add, guaranteed. You are going to bear fruit. Good is going to come out of your life. And people around you are going to see that, and you are going to see it yourself. It is inevitable. It is a guarantee. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to your presence recognizing you as the creator of this universe. You are the source of life. You are the one who gives us the nourishment we need for our spiritual life. You give us all of the blessings in Christ that we may abound. You are the one that is the vine dresser that attaches us to the source of life, Jesus Christ. Bear fruit in us. Help us to grow in these areas. Help us to grow in our virtue and our knowledge. Help us to grow in our self-control and our perseverance. Help us to grow in our godliness and brotherly kindness and in our love. Help us in all of these areas to continue to manifest the light that is in us that we have because of Jesus Christ. You have given us so much, and we pray that you will help us to give you back the fruit of goodness of our lives. In fact, all of the goodness of our lives, all of the good qualities of our attitudes, all of the good actions that we participate in, all of the love that is demonstrated, we lay at your feet as a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's sing number 605, I Am the Vine. So if we continue to grow, we are going to bear fruit. There is going to be goodness come out of our life. There is nothing that we can do to stop that, because we're going to be attached to Jesus Christ, doing His will, fulfilling His word, abiding in that, and fruit will come. It's a motivation for us to continue to grow. A second motivation, if we go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, Peter once again uses this key phrase of these things when he says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." So he once again states this in the negative. He that does not do these things is short-sighted even to the point of blindness. That is unfortunately a problem with those that are not spiritually minded, that are not Christians. Those who are in the world are focused on the things of the world. And when someone is so focused on the things of this life, so focused on the material world, they're short-sighted. They're nearsighted. They're not seeing what's in a distance. They're not seeing eternity. They're not seeing the bigger picture of what God has in store for His people. And Peter does not want us to be short-sighted, does not want us to be nearsighted, doesn't want us to be blind. He wants us to see. How do we see? How do we guarantee that we can see what is good, see the perspective of God, see the light that God has provided? Do these things, and Peter says, you're going to be able to see them. You know, a lot of times as we go through life, we might ask the question, or we might make the statement, I sure wish God would give us more. There are so many questions that I wish He would have answered, just answered real clearly, answered, just tell me what to do, tell me exactly what to do. Well, there are things that He does tell us exactly what to do. He very clearly states what's wrong, what's right in many areas. But in a lot of areas in the New Testament, we find that God gives us principles. And He wants us to use those principles in order to make the right decisions in life. In other words, He wants us to grow up with our children. Our children come to us sometimes and they ask a question, Mommy, Daddy, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? And sometimes we have to say, you figure it out. I could tell you the answer to the question, but then you don't grow. You figure it out. Now, if you mess up, there are going to be some consequences. I'll help you out a little bit here, but you've got to exercise yourself. You've got to grow up. You've got to mature. And God has done that in this new covenant in which we live. So as we're searching for knowledge, as we're searching for more self-control, as we're searching to build up our perseverance and our godliness, our brotherly kindness, and in our love, that in and of itself is going to help us to answer the questions of life so that we, as we become more mature, we see things more and more clearly. We go back to a passage that we looked at this morning, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, when the Hebrew writer is talking about their lack of growth and what proper growth should look like. When he says in verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. When we exercise ourselves to figure out what's right and wrong, based upon the principles of God, we find ourselves getting better and better at it. The immature says, everything is gray. The immature says, I can't figure out what God wants. The immature says, I wish God would just spell it out. The mature says, now I see it. The mature says, yes, putting this principle and that principle, and the fact that I've made this decision already and I've seen the results of that in my life, yes, it's becoming more and more clear for me. Peter wants us to grab a hold of this promise that God has given to us, to see things as they are, not to be short-sighted, not to be nearsighted, not to be blind, but to actually be able to see. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 22, the reason why we need to see more clearly is so that we don't go back to the world. Why would we ever do that? He describes it here, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. How could people go back to the things, to the sins of the world? People leave the world, but sometimes go back to drunkenness. What growth is there as a person in drunkenness? Sometimes people leave the world of drugs, but they go back to it. What good comes from taking drugs? What growth takes place from taking drugs? People leave fornication, sexual immorality, but they go back to it. What good comes out of sexual immorality? What growth takes place in that? People leave lying and cheating and being deceitful. But then they go back to it. How do you grow as a person by being a liar? How do you grow as a person by being deceitful? People have left false doctrine behind to come to Christ, but they go back to it. What growth takes place in false doctrine? What maturity takes place in following the things of the world? The fact is, we are not going to grow if we follow the things of the world. We are going to grow when we follow the things of God, when we are honest, when we are pure, when we are holy, when we do the things of the Lord, we're going to find ourselves growing. That's the way God set it up. Now, it doesn't come easily and it doesn't come quickly to grow in our knowledge and in our self-control and our perseverance and our godliness and our brotherly kindness and our love. To be virtuous, it's going to take effort. But doing the will of God is going to help us to see things clearly and is going to help us to grow so that we can be the very best that we can be. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come into your presence again, thankful that you are the God of light. You are our guide. You have in your word given to us the instruction that is going to help us as your children to become better, to in fact become the best that we can be. There is no other way that we can go than following your word for us to truly become the kind of people that you will have us be. Kindly to be the type of person that will reflect the goodness and the holiness and the purity that lies within you. We recognize that we falter in this sometimes. We recognize that we have sinned on occasion. But we pray that you will help us to never forget where we were. Never forget the cleansing. In fact, as we think back upon our cleansing, we are ashamed of where we've been. We were broken, but we're not broken now. You have made us whole. We are not ashamed now of the good that you have given us to do. We pray that you will help us in our growth to continue to see things clearly, your will, as you guide us through this life in the light. We thank you so much, and we praise you for the goodness that you are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's sing number 303, emphasizing the fact that we have been redeemed. We have not forgotten the cleansing of our old sin. And then we're going to sing another song that hopefully the young people in particular will like, as well as us older folks as well. That I'm happy today. We're happy today. We have great blessings today because we have been cleansed of our sins. Number 303. Yes, because of what we have in Christ, we can live today. We can be happy today. We can be singing today. We can be praying today. Because what we have in Jesus Christ is perspective. I will see when I'm involved in the growth process, when I'm adding these things into my character. And the third thing that he mentions, going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He says in verse 10, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. God has called us by the gospel out of the world and into Christ, out of the sin and into cleansing and holiness and righteousness. And we are elected. We are a people that is elected by God so that we can be His people in this world. And notice that He says that you make your calling and election sure. You make it firm. You make it confident. You make it steadfast. When you do these things, your calling and election is sure. Now, the fact is, we really don't have any doubt about God being sure. We don't have any doubt about God fulfilling His promises. God is faithful. He has always kept His word. He is always going to keep His promises. He's always going to fulfill. He is going to be in heaven for all eternity. I have no doubt about that. We have no doubt about that. It's us we're not sure about. It's us that we need to have some confidence about. How do I know that I'm going to be? I know God's going to be there. How do I know that I am going to be there? That my calling and election is sure. That I can have confidence. That I can have firmness. That I can embrace this promise that I will be in heaven with God. Here's a guarantee. Peter tells us, he spells it out. He says, if you do these things at the end of verse 3, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, he doesn't say you will never take a false step. Yes, sometimes we as Christians sin. He doesn't say that you will never have a time when you are not as strong as the other. Yes, we have times like that as a Christian. But what he says is that you will never fall away. You will never stumble. You will never abandon the faith. You will constantly continue in what is right. You will never continue in sin. You will never walk in the darkness. He's saying it is impossible. He's saying that these two things are in opposite poles of one another. If you do these things, that is, if you strive to, based on your faith, to have more and more virtue, if you are constantly trying to build up your knowledge, if you are constantly seeing that you are under self-control and growing in that capacity, if you are constantly growing in your perseverance, if you're constantly growing in your godliness, your respect for God, if you're constantly growing in your brotherly kindness, if you're constantly growing in love, you will never stumble. You're going to heaven. Do you want to have a stamp? I'm going to heaven? Peter says, this is it. Now, I mean, it's not a one-time thing where you do it 1 second and you are saved for all eternity. This is a continuing process. But nonetheless, this is a promise that we can embrace. It's something that can help motivate us to continue to move forward. Verse 11, he says, for so an entrance shall be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in His kingdom now. But we can abandon that kingdom. We can lose that privilege if we continue to walk in darkness. But this eternal kingdom, this place, I believe, talking about heaven, is a place where we are eternally going to be able to be in the presence of God. The entrance into that is guaranteed us if we will do these things. Now, I know that in the religious world, there is this concept or there is this false teaching of once saved, always saved. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you say the sinner's prayer, you are saved. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Unfortunately, it's hollow. It's hollow, number one, because it's not true. But it's also hollow because it does not fulfill what God put us on this earth to do. Yes, He wants us to be born again. Yes, He wants us to give, He wants to give us new life. He wants to forgive us of our sins, to give us a new start. But He doesn't want us to stop after we start. He wants us to grow after we start. He wants us to be more and more like Him after we start. He wants us to mature after we start. Faith only is a false doctrine because it's not in the Word of God and it goes against what God's looking for. He's looking for us to continue to press on. And the opposite extreme is also false and empty. And that is, we're always going to do everything flawlessly. We're always going to do everything without ever sinning. That's not going to happen either. What is going to happen, the truth that's in the middle, is we're going to constantly be growing. We're going to constantly be trying. We're going to constantly be becoming more and more mature. And if we ever take a false step, if we ever get involved with sin, we ever commit fornication, we ever get drunk, we ever take drugs, we get right back out of it. Because we're growing and we're trying and we are succeeding as God gives us strength so that we can come back to Him. Back to chapter 1 and verse 10 where He says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure." He began this whole process in verse 5 by saying, "And also for this very reason, giving all diligence." Give all diligence. I'm not sure how you can get more than all. But in verse 10 He says, give it more. Giving more diligence than all diligence. So He's not saying that you need to take a back seat and go to sleep and you're going to make it to heaven no matter what. He's saying you put forth the effort and you are guaranteed that you will not stumble if you do these things. That's a motivation. That's a promise that we can embrace to every day keep us moving forward and upward as we serve the Lord. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we know that You have dwelt in heaven for all eternity. It is Your home. You have been righteous and holy and good all of Your existence, never doing anything wrong, never making any poor or unwise decisions. You are a God of wisdom and knowledge, and You have been consistent in Your goodness throughout eternity. We are so grateful that we have the chance to be with You in heaven. We are so grateful that Jesus is preparing for us a room in Your home, in Your mansion. We long for that time. We long for that place. We want to be Your children for all eternity and live and serve You in heaven and praise Your name for all eternity. It is our goal. It is our desire. It is our longing. We pray that You will help us every day to continue to grow, to continue to add these things to our lives, so that we can be with You for all eternity. You have been so good to us. We pray that You forgive us of any sin that we might have. We pray that You will help us to see whatever areas we need to improve in so that we can bring more and more glory to Your name, so that we can continue to bear fruit for You, so that we can continue to walk in the light as You are in the light. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's sing number 666 and "Long for This Home." In just a moment, we're going to sing number 295 as a song of invitation, a song that talks about without Him. Because those who are not Christians are without Him. Those of us who are Christians are so thankful that we are with Him. And hope that you'll think about your relationship with Him as we sing that song. For all of us who are Christians and who have sorted through this list of seven things that we're to add to our faith, I hope that you will take this sheet of paper and that you'll put it in a place, perhaps in your Bible or on your dresser or wherever a place will be that can remind you of some areas that you need to work on to continue to grow. And when you find yourself losing your motivation, flip the page over and embrace those promises that God has given to you. If we do these things, if we have the diligence to add these things to our life, we have these tremendous promises that God has given to us. And they can motivate us to every day become more and more like our Lord, more and more like our Savior. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you tonight to come unto the Lord to start this process of being a child of God. If you are a Christian and for some reason need to make your repentance known for this before this group, we would encourage you to come as well while we stand and sing.